views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hello, everyone. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am really pleased to have our guest, Laura Crandall, with us. Laura's going to help us understand and learn more about shaping the future, seeing your organization with a clear view. And these types of perspective on our larger culture can help us more easily understand how we can create brilliant organizations and what holds us back from doing that. So let me introduce Laura. Laura is a workplace communication expert and management strategist who helps organizations and their leadership teams use all of their data, even the emotional and interpersonal stuff, which I love, to create better successes at work. Laura has over 25 years of experience working in industries that include manufacturing, hospitality, and academia. And for many of those years, she was actively managing work teams. Laura has a master's in education from Harvard, where she studied cognitive neuroscience and organizational behavior. And she's also the co-founder of a really exciting new venture called Willow 3, that provides some real insight into organizational culture by making abstract ideas physically tangible so organizations can see how to become more resilient and successful over time. And we're actually going to get to spend some time talking about Willow 3 today, which I'm really looking forward to. So welcome, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me, Claudette. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here too. So, you know, I want to start with the title we gave this show, this our conversation today, Shaping the Future, Seeing Your Organization with a Clear View. And in your many, many years of experience, what have you noticed gets in the way of organizations having a clear view?
There are so many things, and all of them have to do with the fact that we're all just so very human, right?
Right.
it's our own proclivity to want to know what we're doing and not want to fess up when we don't. I think fundamentally that has to do with really the very human nature to kind of be in action and be working toward a goal and, you know, really working systems that, or at least processes that, you know, probably get some stuff done and serve organizations' missions or really, you know, engage with their productivity. But we don't often stop and ask why we're doing something, or is it really working, or what could be better. So it's the assumptions that just sort of always have been so, right? The cultural aspects of organizations that get in people's way and not being able to see what they're doing clearly, because we don't think to stop and check. Hey, if it's working, why would you?
Right.
But then that also just provides an opportunity for people to get caught in unhelpful cycles, unproductive cycles, bad habits, and ultimately can stop the learning path of organizations that can present itself if you just say, hey, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it working? Mm-hmm. And do we want it to work this way?
Absolutely. I was at a conference last fall at Harvard, and I heard one of the leaders from the Center for Creative Leadership was presenting, and he had a great sense of humor, and he talked about what you've just mentioned, that so often, and he attributed it to our, you know, the rapidly changing workplace that that we're in constantly. And he said, you know, so many of the leaders I work with just take action and they don't think anymore. And he said, I've actually had leaders say to me that we don't have time to think. We just take action. And he advised that they perhaps think before acting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, well, I also think there's such a, what I see so often is that there's such an, whether it's real or perceived to the degree that leaders sometimes feel it, you know, the pressure to, we have to innovate. We must be innovative. We have to, you know, go, go, go. We have to keep up. We have to struggle. It's very, I mean, it is real. There's, you know, competition is real. But the idea of slowing down in order to go faster, mm-hmm. to actually really perceive well, to actually think about what you're thinking about, it really does lend so much speed to the quality and energy of even of very rapid innovation cycles or sprints or anything like that. If you can just stop and think for a minute, what do we really know? Not what do we think we have to know? And it's a lot more fun too. I mean, the stress of most organizations today in relationship to competition or technological speed, whatever that may be, some of it I really sense we sort of get ourselves revved up a little too high when if we just said, okay, actually, let's just have a conversation. Why do we think this? What's important? It creates so much space, so much breathing room to actually think clearly. And I think it's being undervalued and underappreciated just to stop and really just take a step back so you can actually see things clearly. And also, it's a lot more fun than being stressed out all the time.
Absolutely. Yes. Anything to decrease stress. But uh-huh. I love this idea of, you know, we slow down to speed up. And I talk to my clients a lot about that. And you said something I think that was really key, which is it actually lends speed to innovation when we slow down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's often completely overlooked and to the point of not even being thought of at a conscious level.
Well,
unless
right.
someone like you points it out, right? That this could actually be better if you slow down. We could actually go faster.
Right. And if you just pause, especially if there's some sort of panic, right? When you have, whether it's a fun kind of, whether it's a fun stress or, you know, it's not that someone is necessarily, maybe a competitor is breathing down the neck of an organization, but maybe it's just cultural anxiety or urgency, right? I think sometimes the idea of organizational urgency to get things done gets hijacked a little bit. Is it urgent or is it just too speedy?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a real, you know, the clip about, you know, just everybody look busy, right? Just make sure you
yeah.
look busy at all times. Well, it's a real quick way to fry yourself and also not to really be focused on how you can really think creatively. And we know there are so many studies about when innovation really happens, you know, when people really have breakthrough or aha moments. It's usually not when they're working very hard. It's, you know, when they're in the shower, they're going for a walk, or they're, you know, having a conversation about something completely different, and their mind can slow down and access all the other neural networks that they don't have to think about. Then innovation comes in, and or the kernel of innovation, and then the work of innovation can grow from that very different perspective. That's more playful, that's mm-hmm. more restful, that's mm-hmm. more often more joyful. And that, you know, that different lens, that different framework of thinking about how you think about the work or the problem that you're trying to address or the solution you're trying to come up with, or even just the imagination you're trying to have. There's a lot to be said for slowing down and letting your mind wander.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one thing I'm curious about having us just define, you know, we talk about assumptions
mm-hmm.
and how do you, if we break that down, what is mm-hmm. an assumption actually in the workplace?
In the workplace, it's, you know, sort of from the cultural context, it has to do with what we hope everyone knows
mm-hmm. right.
culturally, the way yeah. we do things here, you know, so mm-hmm. many great theorists have put pen to paper. Mm-hmm. And it's what we hope that culturally outside of the organization that the rules of behavior often or that we expect people to adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
And those assumptions, they're just sort of the background of what we hope we don't have to talk about often
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Organizationally. That's sort of the things that I hope you know, because we are here having a conversation about topic X. Mm-hmm. And if you're in an organization and you've been hired, it is assumed that you will know how to do Y, or that you will have at least a cursory understanding of this based on what I've read on your resume, or where you went to school, or the jobs you've had previously, or what I can assume about you based on what you look like on paper, and what I can infer from what little I know about you as a human being based on your CV to date, or where, you know, my assumptions about you, and what you assume about me. That's kind of what I go, what's the background? What's the context? What's the projection that I have about you, this person who I'm working with? That's kind of how I look at that. The problem with that, and while they're very handy, you know, we assume things like when drivers are on the street, we hope that we assume they know the rules of the road, right? That's great.
Right. They'll stay on the right side. Exactly.
They
will
stay there. Not, we are not in England. Everything's
right.
Good. Pick a side, know which one. And, but I think the problem is that we don't ever check those assumptions, predominantly because we don't ever want to insult someone.
Right.
And that can get in our way, or we don't think we have to, or of course everyone thinks the same way I do. And that's the problem, back to perception, right? What, how am I seeing something? How fast am I going? Am I having a hard, am I having the time to actually take a conversation and get to know someone? So that's where that, that's where assumptions fall with me.
Yeah. Thanks for such a thorough overview, because I think it's a word that we use a lot, but we don't always think about exactly what it means, particularly in organizations. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're actually going to get to talk about your new venture, which gives us, it sounds like, a whole new perspective potentially on culture. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about Laura's new venture, Willow 3. Stay tuned.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Do you want to relax more, feel happier, and be more confident? Do you want to have more success in your life? Dave Dodge has some easy, effective methods to help you release your anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and even physical pain. Tune in to Stress Buster Radio with Dave Dodge every second Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information on how Dave can help you release your stress, visit StressBusterRadio.com. Skype and phone sessions are available.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference.
Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. One day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, our guest today is Laura Crandall, who is talking with us about how to shape the future by seeing our organizations with a clearer view. So, Laura, though, before we dive into our next topic, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you. Could you give your contact info out for listeners?
Oh, sure. The easiest thing is emailing me at laura@slatecommunication.com. It's communication singular, and Slate, S-L-A-T-E, communication.com. laura@slatecommunication.com. Drop me a line.
That'd Excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's great. So we're going to talk now about your new venture, mm-hmm. Which is Willow, right? Willow 3.
Yep.
And this is so new. I was just saying to you on the break, this is so new. I don't even know very much about it. So, Laura, I'd love to have you share with us whatever you can, like bring us up to speed on this. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, great new idea. Yeah.
So my business and thought partner, Tafiq Hakim, and I have known each other for years, and we have a love of organizational development and sort of dealing with the wonderful world of organizational culture and how we can be, you know, inclusive and productive and just creative in how we go about this business of working. And one of the things that we got talking about a few years ago is how we sort of see organizations. And Tafiq is handily enough for me in how this is developing. He's a physicist by training and taught physics for years. And so when we started talking about how do we look at organizations and how do we see them? And I said, you know, I always kind of see them sort of metaphorically and sort of sometimes not. I almost see them like the shape of them literally. I kind of have a very active imagination. And, you know, what do they look like? How does this work? And I said, what could we do to sort of, if we could assess organizations in some way, what could we do to make that actually have a shape? Do organizations have shape? And having someone who is gifted with mathematical ability and remembers the formulas, as I can hold my own with math, but not with the formulas. basically, what we did is that we designed, after years of conversation, we've been working at this for a couple of years, mm-hmm. we figured out a way to assess organizations at multiple levels of the organization, actually at any level, whether it's internally on a department level or a work group level, organization-wide, board, customers, sort of community, and actually take a look at what the strengths are of an organization in multiple modes and take that data and graph it in a way that gives you a three-dimensional shape of an organization.
Wow.
And also associated color and things like that. So essentially there are infinite shapes and colors associated with organizations based on the modes that we've developed and all the guts of what we've done and the organizational strengths that we've looked at. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that when you can actually take perspective, we ask a series of questions of an organization, take that information and then actually create an artifact in 3D that you can not only see visually on the screen, but also that we can then 3D print, which is what we do, then you can hold an organization literally in your hand. And, if you are on a board and you see an organization from a certain perspective, because you're a board member and you think it looks like this, but then you mm-hmm. can't figure out why another department has a very different perspective. And you can hold something in your hand and you say, oh, when I look at this, it looks like a pancake. But when you look at it, it looks very spherical because we're having different perspectives. So it's a way to literally, when we're saying, in the common parlance of organizational speak, get the 30,000 foot view Right. If you can actually hold an artifact in your hand and look at it and say, oh, you look at it from this perspective, I look at it from here, that's where we see things differently. And then there's there's an associated with protocol of what does that mean and what do you do with it? Because what we do is that we ask people to say, what shape are you in right now?
Mm-hmm.
And where would you prefer it to be?
Mm-hmm.
So in asking, you know, present and preferred states, mm-hmm. we essentially also map the fourth dimension of time and say, where do you want to go? And where is the hope within an organization to move from one element to the other? And then we have a protocol about how you use the things that you have currently in your organization to be able to get from where you are to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun.
Sounds really fun. Yeah.
It's really fun. It's so fun. It's ridiculously fun. And so right now we're in the process of, we're in the early stages of launching. We've done some case studies. We're writing lots of papers about the whole thing. We're looking for organizations that want to participate in our casework and research. And it's so interesting because it's a very mapped out methodical plan that basically says, if you want to build this resilience, because that's the whole point, is to say how can you get to where you want to go in a resilient way?
Mm-hmm.
How can you increase your organizational sustainability? How can you really literally shape shift when you need to by leveraging mm-hmm. things that you have at your disposal? It's a really interesting way to make these abstract concepts of organizational culture, like, oh yes, we have teamwork, or we're good connecting, you know, ideas to action, or, you know, we have a lot of robust, you know, sales X, you know, whatever it is that you are mm-hmm. looking for, that are sometimes very convoluted in how people think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have a way to look at them and associate physical meaning mm-hmm. Cognitively, it makes sense making a little easier. So what we really try to do is sense make around what does your organization's culture look like? Is it what you want it to look like? And how do you shape shift when you want to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's really, really brilliant. I love
Thank
it.
You.
And
I agree.
You're welcome.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And it strikes me too that we taking something like culture, you know, which I work in a lot as well.
Absolutely.
And then, which can be so messy, right?
Oh,
with humanity and emotion and perceptions and assumptions and this and that, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be really positive and it can be really challenging. And then you've come up with a way. And I mean, I can't wait to, whenever the time is right, actually see this in action because it sounds so fascinating. To take it, like you said, so they can literally, organizations can hold it, you know, hold the shape in their hand. And I love the part about one department could have a completely different shape and color than another department.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're really not saying, as an organization, we all have to agree that our culture is shaped like this.
That's right.
We can have different perceptions, which usually is the case anyway.
Well, and that's exactly right. And that also, we Willow 3, we don't have a shape that's better or otherwise. We don't care. I mean,
right.
We care if you
is,
care.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and different organizations need to be different shapes because they have different missions. And there's no judgment about that. There's no right shape to be. What you want to be able to do is be as pliable as you can when you need to be. So that essentially in the long haul, if you think about it, like if you're rolling along literally, are you essentially made of glass or are you made of neoprene?
Mm-hmm.
And is it, you know, sometimes it's absolutely right. The right shape is to be a frisbee of shape, you know, because you can get thrown, you know, you can fling a frisbee pretty far,
mm-hmm.
but that requires some momentum, that requires some, you know, external force. But if you can kind of, you know, sometimes it's, which is sometimes completely right, but when you need to just sort of roll along, what's the best shape for your organization to do that under different circumstances? So you're absolutely right by that, in that perspective and difference isn't bad or judged, but when can you access it and use it? And when does everybody maybe in an organization go, hey, you know, we have different perspectives, but right now this is the, let's leverage this. Let's be in this shape for reasons X, Y, or Z. Right.
So Yeah, it seems to bring a level of, based on what you're saying, a consciousness too to the process, right? If we consciously choose to be this shape because this is what we need, you know,
yes,
as opposed to just sort of randomly evolving into something. And it reminds me of Edgar Schein's statement. For those of you who aren't familiar with Edgar Schein, he's one of the pioneers in organizational culture. And he always talks about culture as being so neutral, which is what you're saying, that it's neutral. And I love that because sometimes I'm in organizations where they'll be signing things like good and bad labels to their culture or parts of their culture, as opposed to it's actually completely neutral. It's much more about whether what you have supports what you need and where you're going to go.
That's right. And that, and Dr. Schein's work is so fundamental in that, because essentially you just evaluate whether or not it's working for what you want to do. Right. And if it's not, then change. It's not, you're not beholden to it. It's like you can do something differently. And that's what's really fun. And that also, not that there aren't toxic cultures and toxic behaviors within cultures,
of course,
but the autonomy to see things clearly from a neutral view, which is what creating an artifact does. It takes some of the emotional load out of the conversation. Say, oh, you just look at it from over here. I look at it from here. Now, what do we want to do about it? That neutrality, that sort of therapeutic distance on the changes you're trying to make is what's really exciting, because then people free up some cognitive space for different levels of creativity, can relax a little bit and kind of go back to what we were talking about, creating that little bit of space to actually think and reflect and say, oh, I don't have to be in the middle of this. I can actually look at it, and we can have a conversation that can create something new and different and hopefully helpful.
Yeah, well, it definitely sounds very helpful. So I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Laura Crandall is going to talk with us again about a different aspect of perception, which is working with millennials. So we're going to take a little bit of a right turn, but still under that great umbrella of perception and assumption. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parents, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and I'm here with my guest today, Laura Crandall. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about how to see your organization with a clear view and how having that clear view can help shape your or shape your organization's future. We are moving on now to talking about a different area of perception in our larger collective culture, which is working with millennials. And Laura, I was sharing with you on the break that I had a story that just came up on Tuesday for me.
Yeah.
I was facilitating a training session for some managers and leaders. And the topic was actually on conflict resolution and, handling conflict in the workplace. But during the facilitation of this program, When we were talking about different types of conflicts that managers had in their organizations, some of the older managers in the room started to talk about, they didn't say millennials necessarily, but they still talked about, some of our younger employees, right? And work ethic, and mm-hmm. that sometimes they just want to do the minimum and they're hard to motivate. And a lot of these things that are somewhat stereotypical. And then two of the folks in the room are also managers who were probably in their late 20s, maybe 30, mm-hmm. actually spoke up in a very polite way and talked about how painful it was for them to hear that. And so it led to this really fruitful conversation. And I think a lot more understanding of both sides, because these people mm-hmm. both said, we work, and I've heard this from other folks who fall in the millennial generation as well. We work really, really hard. I mean, we're in there, we're dedicated, we have these incredible work ethics, and to hear these stereotypes is actually really painful to hear someone talk about the fact that as a millennial we're entitled or something like that when we don't feel that way. It led to a really interesting generative conversation, but I left really struck by, at least for these two women in the room, just the amount of pain that they expressed that they felt over some of these stereotypes and assumptions about them.
I think that.
I know you work in this area, so I was curious about your thoughts.
I've had very similar experiences, and it's a beautiful example, Claudette, of when we assume that all people are the same, no matter who they are or where, how old they are, where they're from, what their work, let's lump people in a big pile and say that they all do X or Y. It's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. What I really like about that story is that those two younger employees, managers, were able to advocate for themselves. They were able to speak up and say, hey, that's hurtful. And mm-hmm. here's why. And to clarify, and then to that the other people in the room, it sounds like we're really able to have a present conversation to talk about what frustrates them. When I teach about managing millennials, the core idea essentially is very similar, is that often, well, yes, any group of people, there are stereotypes about, millennials being, entitled. Stereotypes they're not made up. There's aspects that are always true, but it's never the whole story.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that we limit our curiosity. We stick with the assumptions, the most base assumptions that we holding the assumption that is negative, don't want to look past, right? We don't want to invoke any curiosity about, the trouble with youth today, hey, you kids, get off my lawn, right? So
right.
that is true, and that's an age-old problem, right? That's, mm-hmm. it's so old, it's so boring, it's so, I think the original, I don't know if it's the original, it's probably pre-existing this, but the quote of like, our youths love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for their elders, love to chatter. There's this long quote that starts out that way. That's from Socrates.
Right. I've read that. Yes.
Saying that trouble, it's an old problem. Like this is a couple thousand years old. So what I love about your example is that it's all an assumption. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Gen Xer, and we were all called slackers. Mm-hmm. Like, the slackers. Just like millennials are all being sort of dissed as, you know, not wanting to work hard and, oh, they have no work ethic and they're all melancholic and whatever. I didn't know any slackers. I mean, I was going to school full time and working three jobs, and I didn't know people who were slackers. I mean, I'm sure I did, but they did not represent
generation
of friends.
Your experience, sure you, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think in the workplace, what I see, and especially over the last 10 years or so, when people were starting to complain about millennials, their biggest, Gen Y, right? Gen X, Gen Y. The biggest complaint that I noticed is that they wanted to know why were they supposed to do anything. So the WHY and the letter Y were very, very handily married, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why do they want to know everything? Why they want me to tell them, explain everything. Well, my response has always been, so what? Tell them.
Right.
And if you don't know, that is your problem. Then it's your job to go find out. And that's, I think what I see when I teach about managing millennials is that where millennials are the most challenging is when bosses lack the interest in engagement and want to, especially if it's older bosses, people who are older Gen X, boomers, who expect that people will just do what they're being told without question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, why they have that expectation is sort of fantasy. Because if we look back, what I love about this topic is that there's so much rich cultural knowledge to say. We as a culture, as the American culture, we want to know why for everything. It's sort
yes.
of, you know, it's great. There, even back, in Sarah Vowell's book on Lafayette in the somewhat United States, which is fabulous for anyone who likes history. She even talks about how General von Steuben, who was in charge of teaching people how to fight when we weren't doing so well in the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. His complaint is like, we have a letter from him. Says, these people who don't even have, they're fighting with pitchforks. They want to know why I'm telling them to do things. Like, why? Why? No one else asks me why. I've trained armies all over the world. They don't ask me why. These people want to know why. So that's the case. And I think that's true also, like Monroe Leaf's wonderful book on manners from the 1950s, I think late 40s, early 50s, called How to Behave and Why. It wasn't mm-hmm. just how to behave, just and why. Like, I think when we can engage, if we kind of go back to that idea of what are our assumptions?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it making us crazy when millennials behave in a certain way or in a way that we perceive? Have we had a conversation with them? Mm-hmm. What are our expectations? Do they know our expectations? Which is often not the case because we haven't told them. So then we get mad at them for not being psychic. And if they were psychic, it would be creepy. So like conversations are really handy, right? Psychic employees are weird. So let's just chat. Let's have a conversation. What are your expectations? What does working hard mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Being on time mean to you? What does, all these things that people who grow up in a more industrial frame of reference, which many people until, as far as what it meant to punch a clock and show up for work and those kind of things, Gen X sort of that bridge generations that has had a foot in each, both industrial and information ages. Working hard means, doing physical labor. That's mm-hmm. not often true in much of our workplace now. But when it is, when these sweeping assumptions about entitlement or disregard for authority or whatever, it's just handy. It's too handy. It's a quick label that we like to slap on people. And it's really ineffective. And it causes unnecessary strife and generational generational interactions that where they could be really fruitful and interesting and engaged and educational, it shuts people off from each other and limits connection, which ultimately is bad for productivity, bad for innovation, bad for constructiveness, and bad for imaginative thought. So it comes back again to what are your assumptions and how can you clarify them? And you clarify them by asking what people's assumptions are.
Exactly. Yeah. It's simple enough, right? I mean, we clarify by checking in on assumptions. And I do a lot of work in teaching people how to have difficult conversations. And it's the same thing where, you know, one of the big causes of conflict is that we make an assumption that we don't check out.
That's right.
And one thing that strikes me about the story I started this conversation with about millennials was your point about, instead of some of the managers in the room thinking, let me, what's going on? Like, are my expectations clear? Are we having some kind of miscommunication? It was easy to just, slap on the label of, well, you know, they're the younger generation, you know, that's just the way that they are. And really encouraging them to start looking, okay, if we peel back the layer of that onion, what would be underneath there?
Right. That's right.
Do we actually have a miscommunication going on here that we need to clean up?
Right. And that's why it might not always be them. It might be us. Being how people who are older. Right. And it's definitely both, right? Because if there's the miscommunication, it's a two-way street. And clarifying that, asking questions, hey, what are your assumptions? What do you think about these labels? What should they be? Being open, being curious in that way is so much easier and so much more fun.
It is. It actually is really fun once you get it. Once folks get past being nervous about it and they get into it, they have a really good time. Absolutely. So before we go to our next break, I'd love to have you share your contact information one more time for our listeners, Laura.
Sure. Laura@slatecommunication.com.
Excellent. Excellent. So this is Cultural Brilliance Radio with Claudette Rowley. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to wrap all this up by talking about what's in store for organizations in 2017? What's that landscape look like, and where might we be headed? So stay tuned.
This is Sarah Luce from Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio. I want to invite you to join me and women across the globe for my Sister Spirit Party, where we're going to be teaching you how to lose those limiting beliefs, toss the struggles, lose all the old stories that keep you stuck, so that you can leap fully into your power in 2017. Girl, the world needs you to shine right now, so please join us for this powerful and fun group mentoring called Sister Spirit Party. And now, till February 10th, I'm going to give you $50 off your enrollment. So go to sarahluce.com and enter your coupon code SISTER50 for your enrollment discount. Girl, we need you to shine. Join us. Join the Sister Spirit Party. Let's get your power on.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's DanaCanetto.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and I'm thrilled to have Laura Crandall here with us today. Laura and I have been having a really great conversation about all sorts of different ways that organizations can see themselves and their people with a clearer view. And Laura, one of the things I know we wanted to make sure to talk about today was looking ahead, right? Looking ahead to what's in store for organizations in 2017. You know, a couple of things I've been noticing, we've all been noticing, of course, that our political landscape has changed quite a bit. And then on the work front, I've been noticing how, in some cases, people are really being called on in a way to use skills that they either don't have yet or we almost don't have as humans, right? Because of our technology, our pace, all these things. So there's this, it's almost like we're running to catch up in a way. Mm-hmm. So I was curious what, you know, you've been noticing in organizations you're seeing might be in store for us this year.
Well, I think you've touched on two really important stressors for organizations that I see. One is people are stressed out about the political landscape. Whatever your political view, it's a stressful time. And there's just a lot of information and a lot of social stress, cultural stress, family stress for some people, just yeah, based on politics. And that can definitely affect people's attention span at work, mm-hmm, how they view the world, how they, you know, what lens they're seeing the world around them and their workplace. And also just how much energy they have to attend to work. What I've noticed is that people are very distracted and they're very, their energy is low just because they're zapped. And so I think that's one piece of sort of for this year and however much longer in the calendar. Acknowledging that one of the things that we have to include in thinking about the health of organizations, our perceptions on our work, is remember to take in stress as a variable to consider, and allow for time and space for people to sort of arrive at work. And mm-hmm, not have the same sort of, to your point about, you know, the frenetic pace of whether it's technological advances, just technological expectations, what's happening. People's battery life in general, when there's additional cultural stress, what I'm noticing is that they're just a little fuzzy. And mm-hmm, the faster you go under more stress over, you know, stress over time yields poor performance. So helping take that into account and include it into the perception of how you see efficacy, how you see productivity, the amount of space, and again, kind of back to what we were talking about in the first segment, how much time you give people to think and rest. Mm-hmm. I think those are some of the things that we are going to be able to have to consider as the year rolls along, if we're going to not all go through burnout very quickly.
Right.
Right. And that perception of, okay, this is just an adjustment. It doesn't mean we can't still get stuff done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we can't still have a good time and be wildly productive and be innovative and still be competitive. But I do think it's one of those things where slowing down to go fast will pay off if we can all sort of arrive together. What are our assumptions for the day? Check in conversationally and more humanly, on an interpersonal level with one another. Show some kindness and some presence. and some curiosity about what's your perception on this day, on this project, on this team. Great. Why? What do I need to know about it? What are your assumptions? What are mine? Where do they match? That will be very fruitful in building organizational resilience throughout the year. That's my general sense of that.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. You've captured it really well. One of the things I am thinking a lot about and talking with leaders and organizations too about is something you touched on: time to think and rest. And the humanity, it's almost like bringing up some old skills, kind of quote unquote, right? Like, how do we listen to each other? How do we relate to each other? How do we connect with each other? Even when we have all these technological advances and everything else that's pulling on us, how do we actually step back almost in time in a way and connect in a, in the way people did maybe 50 years ago, right? Because we didn't have, voicemail and email and all of that. And that there's some balance to that. We balance what's coming our way with, hey, you know what? We actually need to be human in this.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I definitely have the, if it's taking me too long to figure out how to email or text or communicate digitally with someone, just pick up the phone. It's just call someone, do something, walk over to someone's desk, go make an appointment to see them. You'll be so much more restored by being able to have interpersonal conversation, read all the social cues, actually have the space with someone when you can, to just be present. And, that can sound a little new agey, but human interaction is really important and it's sort of what we're wired for. So go chat somebody up, right? Go have a conversation. And also, I think we undervalue how restorative actual FaceTime, not virtual FaceTime.
Sorry, right?
whenever possible. And our schedules don't allow for it a lot, but at work, it's really important in building the relationships that sustain and build strength within organizational cultures and organizations and their abilities to be productive. It's so important, and it's so in the quest for speed and efficiency, we underplay its importance, and that human interaction and that human spark is so vital in being restorative and regenerative for not only the people who run organizations, but also for the organizations themselves. And I think that that process, exactly what you're saying, it harkens to a simpler time, but it's really just, it's the same technology essentially that we're all using right now. What are we communicating? Is it clear? Do we have clear expectations of one another? Have we checked those? Have we bought into them? Have we followed up with people? Are we being generous of ourselves in that way to move an organization forward?
Yeah. And it, I'm always struck by, one of the lenses I look through is something you commented on about building relationships there. And you said it so eloquently and beautifully, that we actually can't have a great organizational culture without great relationships and connection.
That's right.
And I often see that it's, they're separate though. We're going to have this great culture, but we're not going to connect very much.
Well, and that's exactly to my point of how I help organizations use all of their data, the objective, use your financials and use your cultural opinion of how you're doing. Because if you don't use the whole side, it's like leaving 50% of your data out of the room. We need it. It's the humans who make organizations go. So use all of your data. It's equally important. And those relationships build safety. They build, psychological safety, interpersonal safety, joy, connection, hope, and incredible productivity when leveraged well. It's way more fun. It's just way more fun.
It's way more fun. And we hear it talked about much more, but not as often as I think we could, right? Just that deep connection between relationship, productivity, joy, fun, and innovation and productivity and efficiency. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
all
go hand
part of the,
hand.
They do. And when you can view your organization in that holistic way, that's the perspective that I think makes all the difference.
Well, what a great note to end our show on, to end our conversation on, right? It's that perspective that makes all the difference. So, Laura, I really want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure, Claudette. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And for sharing such great information with us. And I think it was really thought-provoking, clarifying, gave us tons of great food for thought about organizations in general and certainly about culture. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I, as always, had a wonderful time. Please join me on the second and fourth Fridays of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And in a couple of weeks, I'll have Marlene Chisholm, who's the author of No Drama Leadership, which is an amazing book, who will be joining us for the interview. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.